open the precious Word of God to the book of Acts this morning, this evening. I'm getting my mornings and evenings messed up. I'm getting to a place, if I don't write it down, I forget it. And we're so grateful that all of you are here. And we hope the service will be a great blessing to you, great encouragement. And so good to have you here. Acts chapter 14, and let's look at part two. And again, a little bit different angle than this morning. Let's look at verse 1, Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. I hope those words will mean more to you now. They certainly do me. That a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra. Now, this is part two. So we dealt with what took place when they preached the gospel at Iconium. We dealt with that this morning. We dealt with what took place. Well, when the gospel is being preached, God's word is spake of. It brings decision. There are many that trust the Lord. There were many that didn't trust the Lord. But it brought them to a decision to believe or to reject. And then we've seen that it brought disturbance. It disturbed. The Bible says they stirred up the people. So there was a disturbance. Not everyone liked what the Word of God was doing, and not everyone agreed with the gospel and the Word of God. So we've seen that they affected people's minds in such a way, in an evil way. That's why influence is so important. And then we've seen it divided. The Bible said in verse 4, that the whole town was divided. Some took part with the Jews, some took part with the apostles. So in other words, some were right, some were wrong. We know whoever sided with the apostles because they were preaching the word of God, they believed. But this division was so great that Paul and Barnabas left. And they went to Lystra. Now, we're going to change a little bit here. This is part two, but it's all in the same passage of Scripture, so we're flowing here, all right? Let's look at this. Verse 6. They were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, "In the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And really that word Mercurius really stands for Mercury. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preaching to you that ye should turn from these," market, "vanities, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." I want to stop right there. I want to pray, and tonight I want to just bring out the passage, the little part there in verse 15, the living God. The living God. They went to this little area of Lystra, and the Bible says they preached the gospel, and there was a reaction here. But boy, I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul and what Barnabas expounded into this area and to these people, the living God. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 8 through 18, they went to this city of Lystra. When they arrived in Lystra, we find in verse number 9 that there was a certain man there that was a cripple. He was a cripple from birth. He had never walked. The Bible's very clear to say that he never walked. They encountered this crippled man, and the Apostle Paul realized that this man had faith enough to believe that something could be done. He perceived in this man that he was going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the message. I don't understand all that, but the Apostle Paul perceived that. So he looked at this man and said, I want you to stand up and walk. And the Bible says that he got up and leaped and ran. He was healed. Now, people had never seen anything like that. The people at Lystra had never seen anything like that. They'd not seen a demonstration of power quite like this. So you know what they did next? As we read in this passage, you know what they did next? They started and going to worship them as gods. So what do you do? And by the way, their culture was in mythology. They believed in mythology anyway because the very names that they named Paul and Barnabas was of Greek gods. There were many gods. And by the way, you still hear people talk about the Greek gods. It's a system of belief in a group, a plural, a plurality of gods. So when they seen these two men, they said, these gods have came down here in human form. So when gods show up at your town, what do? You worship them. That's what they started to do. And they called Barnabas, they said he was Jupiter. That's another word for Zeus. And if you know anything about Greek mythology, Zeus was the most powerful god, the king of all of the gods, Zeus. So they named Barnabas, so I'm going to be honest with you, just as I read this, I don't know this for sure, but obviously Barnabas had a great standing about him. I personally believe Paul was the leader, but I thought this interesting that these people at Lystra called Barnabas Mercury. In other words, like he's the leader. But you know what they called Paul? They called him Mercury. And that god of Mercury, the wings on feet, was the god of speech. And the Bible very clearly, I thought that was interesting when I looked that up, because the Bible said Paul did all the speaking. So they called him a god that done all the talking. So what do you do when God show up? Well, for these people, they worshiped him. They tried to worship him. Now, I want to say this. I want to make a very clear statement. Look at me and hear me well. It's always wrong to worship men. You hear me? It is always wrong to worship men. Now, I'm glad that I'm as treated, and I just said it earlier, I'm glad that I'm treated as well as we are. But listen to me. No pastor is to be worshipped. I'm going to tell you why. Because even the greatest of men is just that. They're men. And listen to me. They will fail you. They have failed you. And they will fail you. I have failed you. I don't have the desire to fail you. But because of my limitations and my humanity, I will fail you again. So men should never be worshipped. And because I'm going to just say this. When men starts being worshipped, you are setting yourself up for a fall. So beware of folks that flatter you. Because by the way, here's what's amazing. Did you know these same people that are trying to worship them here in this text? In just a few minutes, they're going to try to kill them. Isn't people fickle? How many of y'all ever felt like you've been a hero before? Yeah, any of y'all ever felt like a hero? Would you raise your hand? Come on now, you're lying if you don't raise your hand. How many of you ever felt like, man, someone treat you, know, you're like, oh man, I'm like a hero. Would you raise your hand? Come on now. That's not being arrogant. How many of you think you're a hero to your children? Would you raise your hand? All right, y'all ain't going to participate tonight. I'm going to take my ball and go home. I done lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Hero. Hero. But you know what I've learned in 46 years of life? Don't think you're a hero too long, because pretty soon you're going to be zero. How many of you have ever been zero? Now look here. I better get some participation here. How many of you have ever been zero? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, I know. Well, y'all are trying to all play humble tonight. Well, let's just be real. But talking about hero to zero, I mean, here they are. They're going to throw garlands out. They're going to worship. They're going to do a sacrifice for them. Here in a little bit, you're going to find out they're going to try to kill them. Now, who else did I see that happen with? Someone so much more precious than Barnabas and Paul. Was it not just a few days when the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem on that old donkey? They were shouting Hosanna and throwing out palm leaves, shouting Hosanna, and just a few days later, crucify him. That's the fickleness of people. So when we see this passage, just like in Jesus' day, one day they're laying out palms for him, they're shouting Hosanna, and a few days later they're shouting crucify him. But in stark contrast to mythology, by the way, Paul knew where he was, and he knew who he was dealing with. He knew he was dealing with people that believed in mythology and many gods. So he tells them about the living God. That's the message. You know, we live in a day. You know what people need to hear? They need to hear about the living God. They need to be explained to the living God. Christians ought to live and preach and explain and share and testify of the living God. How many of y'all believe in that living God? How many of y'all believe that that living God is walking with you and talking with you and letting you know that you're His own? How many of you have ever had those moments that you've been in that garden all alone and you wish you could stay there all day? And so we see here that he refers and he starts to refer to their gods. And I'm amazed how he referred to them. Now, you're talking about boldness. You're talking about a man. Paul was a man. I'm telling you right now, and I want you to think about this just a minute. Here these men believed in these Greek gods. And I want you to notice what he said to them. Look at verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preaching to you that you should turn from these vanities. You know what he just said to these people? Right in front of them, face to face, Brother Don, eyeball to eyeball, he looked at these people that believed in these Greek gods and told him that they were wasting their time. Think of the boldness there. Why do you do these vanities? They were not talking about, why are you wanting to worship me and sacrifice me and throw these things out and do this? No, he said, look, why do ye men are dealing with such vanities? Why are you serving and trying to worship gods that are no gods? He said, in other words, you're trying to worship me, you're wasting your time. Can you imagine how much time is being wasted today by people worshiping anything other than the living God? It's vanity. It's empty. The book of Ecclesiastes, that's one of the key words to the whole book. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. What's that mean? It's empty without God. It's a waste of time without God. And Paul looks them right in the face and says, I want y'all to know that you're worshiping these Greek gods. They're empty. They're vanities. There's nothing to them. You're wasting your time. Let me tell you about the living God. I love it. He didn't say to them that you can believe in your gods, that's fine. He didn't say to them that we're all going to the same place. just traveling different roads. We can all worship the same God and end up in heaven. You might just come by a different way. He did not say that. He looked these folks in the face and said, you are wasting your time. It's powerful. He said, it's vanity. It's a waste of your time. God put the desire in every human being to worship. Why can you watch something on the National Geographic and go to some remote island somewhere where these folks you would consider barbaric and they're not even civilized, but they're worshiping a rock. They're worshiping an animal. They're worshiping a tree. They're worshiping something made, nature or something man-made. Why does people do that? Because God has created us body, soul, and spirit. Our body is what relates to the environment around us. We have senses. We can enjoy eating. We can enjoy smelling. We can enjoy touch. We can enjoy seeing. We can enjoy hearing. We have senses, and God has developed us in that way so we can enjoy the environment around us. Our soul, God put in a soul of each one of us that we have an intellect, emotion, will, and this is how we talk and how we behave with the other human beings in our life. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm sad. That's all in my will of my soul. But then he creates us with a spirit, and that is the part of man that is always and will never be filled until that spirit is in right communion with God. And that is the part of us that in every person of a man or woman's body, they have a desire to worship something. And that's why we must, Tiftonia Baptist Church, make our mission about telling people who the living God is. He is not a waste of their time. Our God is real. Our God changes lives. Our God provides. Our God saves through Jesus Christ, our Savior. His plan is perfect. It's real. We're not preaching a religion tonight. We're preaching that if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that plan is the Almighty God's plan. The Bible says He came and He walked among us and He lived just like we did and yet was tempted at all points and was tried at all points, yet without sin. And Jesus Christ came to this earth. His face was set like a flint to go to Calvary, and he was hung on that cross between heaven and hell, and His life's blood was shed that we might be saved. See, in all of our blood that flows through my veins, it's tainted with sin. And yours has too, because of Adam and Eve's sin. Sin passed upon all man. So a plan had to be come up with. A plan had to be designed that the sin of mankind could be saved and washed clean. But the reason and the only way is it had to be perfect, spotless lamb. Praise God that had no taint of sin in His blood. And so God's Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth, bled and died. And the Bible says if we'll trust Christ as our Savior, we can go to heaven. How many of you glad you've done that? That's a perfect plan. And we know it's perfect because it's God's plan. And I'm thankful tonight. He's real. He is the living God. You ask me how I know He's real. He's real within my heart. I want you to know something. We're not peddling religion. We're not peddling for you to worship some stone, some rock. No, the Apostle Paul had one mission in mind when he came to this city and preached the gospel. He wanted them to know about the true and living God. How many of you are glad tonight that you have met the true and living God? We must make our mission, church, to tell others about the true and living God. And many in our town would believe that Jesus is God and get saved. And I want you to know, we need to be about that mission. Going from place to place and telling people about the true and living God. So here's the message tonight, and I'll quickly go through these. Don't miss this. What are today's religious vanities as the same in this day? What is a waste of people's time that people are spending a lot of time worshiping that we need to be trying to teach people and show people about the true and living God? The most primitive form of worship is this. Y'all write it down. Pantheism. You say, Pastor, what is that? Well, it's the first basic form of worship. It says God is not personal, but is everywhere. He's in everything. He's in the river. He's in the trees. He's in the universe. By the way, Native Americans believe in this polytheism worship. The New Age movement is not a New Age movement at all. It's an old pantheism, the old age of pantheism. Save the rainforest, the spotted owls, the whales, and praise God. Listen to me. Some of the most absolutely fake, false science you've ever heard in your life is an ozone layer. Somebody say amen. Bunch of earth worshipers. By the way, I am for conservation. That's different than being an environmentalist. I'm for conservation. You look up the two, and I would hope you would line up with conservation as well. There is a difference, but listen, I don't want to do any harm to any animals. That's why when someone hunts, they try to take ethical, quick, ethical kills. By the way, the worst thing we can do is worship a bunch of animals here in America and never kill them, because I'm going to tell you right now, that would be worse for them if they get overpopulated. More disease. By the way, in the state of West Virginia 2 years ago, they had a thing hit there in the Hinton area of Summers County. I'm going to be honest. It was called blue tongue. I mean, thousands of deer were laying there. And I found out something. I went there that October. We were there in October to do that revival. And those deer were laying out in them fields by the hundreds. And here's what amazed me. Not even the vultures touched them. I thought that was interesting. They laid there and decayed, and not one scavenger lit on them, and not even a coyote would eat them. Why? Some disease killed them. You say, well, Pastor, where did that disease come from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. From Almighty God that can keep a control of the population down. But you know what we've become now? We're a bunch of animal worshipers. That's polytheism. Cows? In India? You know you can't kill a cow in India. Why? Well, it's somebody's God. Look at me. With all kindness, waste of your time. It's vanity. Hey, listen, polytheism. Can I just say this? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Y'all with me? Let's get away from Mother Nature. No, there's only a Father God. I like it. We got some people chimed in now. We didn't like not talking about taking clean ethical kills, but praise God we like that mother, we don't like that Mother Nature stuff. Yeah. Preach on, preacher. But Paul recognized that in their culture and supposed wisdom, but here's the sad thing about it, they did not know the true and living God. And did you know there are many today still involved in polytheism? People of India? There are millions of gods. They don't know who the real God is. And I'm thankful we have missionaries that are telling them about the real God. Then quickly, polytheism. How about this one? How about humanism? Big today. By the way, humanism is a religion. Why is that? Because listen to me now. It is dethroning of God and it's throning a man. You know who that man is? Self. Well, we hear a lot about self today. Well, self, 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 self. I'm worth something. I'll tell you right now, I'm worth something. I'll tell you what, I have low self-esteem, I have a high self-esteem. That's all humanistic stuff. No. The Bible says that I'm an old wretched sinner. If I have any worth, it's of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any good about you or me, it's God, the God of heaven, working in our hearts. But humanism is a religion. It's the dethroning of God and enthroning of man. They believe Christianity is a clutch and a crutch. Even the atheist is a worshiper. You say, well, wait a minute. An atheist says there is no God. No, but I'll tell you who he does worship. Himself. He worships himself. So he's worshiping. What is it, humanism? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5 says this, Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? See, when we worship self, listen to me, it's a waste of time. Now, instead of worshiping self, you know who we are? Let's worship the Savior. Let's worship the true and living God. And someone that's caught up in humanism that wants to worship self, let's try to tell them and help them to get to know the true and living God. And then as I close, what are some other things that we find that's a waste of time today in forms of worship? Here's a big one today. What about materialism? Things. Stuff. Boy, there's a lot of that going on today. We worship stuff. By the way, I'm not being ugly, misunderstand. I would rather drive than walk. I'm glad I have a car. Y'all with me? I'm glad I ain't walking. Now, I need to do more walking. But I'm going to be honest with you. I appreciate my vehicles, but I can honestly say I've had struggles with other things. But I've never worshiped a car. But I know some people that do. They make much about a vehicle. They make much about a house. By the way, I'm glad I have a roof over my head, but it's a temporary dwelling place. Somebody say amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I mean, I'm thankful for it, but you know, it's just sad. I've watched people through the years. It's like they got to keep buying stuff. They got to keep getting stuff. And I'm going to tell you what will help you with that. The book of Ecclesiastes will help you with that. Changed my life years ago. But there are some people that are just, they're like stuff worshipers, because here's what they do. They're happy because they got something new. And then all of a sudden that newness wears out, and next thing you know, they're sad again. So you know what has to happen? They got to buy something else so they can brag about it for a little while. And then after that newness runs out, next thing you know, they're running here and they're buying something else. And you know what that's called? That's materialism. No, let's just worship the Lord. He's our all in all. Thank God for a vehicle. Thank God for a house. Thank God. Look, I got guns. I have poles. I went down there in my basement the other day, Brother Scotty, and I went down there. My wife, y'all pray for me. She's been a real taskmaster at the house. We're trying to organize the downstairs basement. And, you know, probably one-third of that down there is where I get to keep my little bit of hunting and fishing stuff. I get all my stuff down in the basement. Y'all hear? Y'all pray for me. All my hunting and fishing stuff's down in the basement in this little corner. By the way, it's not the little corner. Hey, it's two walls full. Somebody say amen. It's a whole wall here, and then and I guess, well, I better be quiet because it sounds like I'm worshiping stuff. Got a gun cabinet down there. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was down there the other day, and I have a couple of poles. It was my dad that I've just kept just because they're special, and I've got them there. But I got to look, and I started separating out all them poles, and I had four what I call trout poles or trout poles. And then I looked, and I says, man, I didn't realize, but I got like four or five bass rigs. I was like, man, I didn't know I had all them. And then I got like four or five catfish rigs. I was like, man. And then I had some other poles. I says, man, I said, I have more poles than what I thought. And I said, I might not use all them poles. And then there was a little thought that came to mind. Well, why don't you? And I said, I'm going to keep. But some people say, I'll tell you right now, it's a sin to have this. Well, then I'd be a sinner. I have things that I enjoy, but here's the difference. We can't worship them. It's not about things. Because look here, every one of them poles over there is special to me. I'm going to leave them. That car, that truck that I drive, and I love the 6-speed. Love it. But it ain't going to heaven with me. And I'll be honest, I love our home. I'm thankful that we're buying it and that it's ours. It's a place that we could call ours. I'm so thankful to the church. They're willing to sell it to us. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. I got a better place in the future. I'm thankful for that one. And by the way, I'm grateful. But I ain't going to worship that house. You say, Pastor, why? It's a waste of my time. It's not going to get me anywhere. And you know what our mission here at this church is? Let's get out helping people to worship the true and living God that is real and that will help. That's our mission. And let's help these folks that are looking to materialism. They're worshiping that. They're worshiping men. They're worshiping many gods. They're worshiping their self. We need to introduce them to the living God because He's not a waste of their time. And all God's people said, let's stand to our feet.